Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Continuing our services for this dedication, we continue to ask the Heavenly Father for service blessings, that He yet give us minds and a heart to hear His word and to not only hear it but be a doers of His word. At this time, I'll read from the book of Exodus, 15th chapter, the first 13 verses. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. Then sang Moses, the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the earth of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like to thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swalloweth them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Amen. It's a pleasure to give you greetings of love and God's peace from the children of Elk River, my home congregation there in Minnesota. They wish to relate greetings and also special greetings from Stephen and Brita Schwab, who were residents here at one time. They also wanted to relay their greetings to you, brothers and sisters here. I'll have to say, as John and others have said, when I came into the driveway and beheld the building that you brothers and sisters all helped to build, it was heartwarming to see this. It was a delight. And I know I have also followed the building of this project, as my son has sent me pictures and of the project as it has progressed. And I also had a special treat in which he flew me over here overhead yesterday, so I got to see an aerial bird's eye view of this beautiful place of worship. And for this we thank God from the bottom of our hearts. And this is what this weekend is all about, the endeavor to praise God, to thank Him for His goodness, to personally thank Him for His love because we are stumbling and faltering, as we heard from our brother John, and we need that grace. And God has, and God is love, and He has provided that love and grace for us, and has taken care of us, and has helped us even to this moment. He has led us to this day. And for this, we praise Him and thank Him. And also Moses and the children of God, Aaron and Miriam, were there. When they crossed the Red Sea, they sang a song unto the Lord. They were so happy to be delivered from the power of the enemy. And so we have we know that the children of God, in God's time, allowed them to depart the bondage of Egypt. They were there for 430 years. And most of those years, they were slaves. And slavery is a horrible life to live. Our own country, regrettably, we had slavery here. And no longer today. That's true, but there was slavery here. And if you read the history and read some of those stories, it was a dark period of time in our country. And so it was also for the Israelites. When they first went there, there was great blessings because Joseph rose to power by the hand of God. He was sold by his unbelieving brothers, his disobedient brothers. They had him in a pit, a big deep hole. And the boys said, "What should we do with him?" And some of the boys said, "We should kill him." But the oldest brother, thank goodness, he had a conscience that was working. And he said, "No, we ought not to kill our brother." But there comes a caravan of Ishmaelites, traitors. "Let's sell him. Let's sell our brother. He'll be away from us." Because they were jealous that their father, Jacob, loved Joseph more than them. And it was because of this, because of the obedience of Joseph. Father loved all his sons, but he especially loved Joseph because Joseph was the only, if I recall, the only believing brother among them. And he wanted to be obedient to his father, where the other sons were disobedient, and they caused sorrow in the family. And so, there was a shining light in the family, and it was Joseph. But so he was sold into Egypt, and we know how he was a slave and put in bondage. But God gave him the ability to interpret dreams. And when Pharaoh's dream was interpreted of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of lean times, and how he should save the grain for the coming drought, Pharaoh said, "Yes, this is a good dream, and I will help. You will be my helper, Joseph." And Joseph rose to power, a sense of authority and responsibility from the prison to the king's right hand. And we know that with all things, God are possible with God. And the Bible is full of scripture how God helps His own, and He blesses those who are obedient. And He has blessed this congregation. And we're joyful to be here with you to celebrate this special time with you. But Joseph got old, and a new king, a new Pharaoh took place in Egypt. He didn't know Joseph anymore. He didn't know the friendship there was no friendship between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. And they saw the children of Israel as a threat. They looked out into the crowd and they said, "Behold, look at all the children." And we know that there is many times in the history where children have been persecuted. How the unbelieving world have gone after the children. And Pharaoh said that they are greater and more popular and they're growing in numbers more than us. He viewed them as a threat, the children of Israel. He said, we'll have to take every man child, every little baby boy, and throw him in the River Nile. What a horrible command. But God saved this one little child who was in a bulrushes there along the shore of the Nile River, and his name was Moses. And God had chosen him to be the leader, to lead the people that were groaning and moaning and slavery. But the children of God still did not stop having children. And the more they were persecuted, the more God blessed them. And greater the flock of God's kingdom became. And I'll have to say, as I heard here from the brothers, I've had the opportunity to come here to Alaska many times. And every time I've come here, I've noticed that there has been more and more children. It is a great blessing. And happy is the man who has his quiver full. You, dear parents, who find the stress of raising a family, may God give you wisdom and strength and patience and love to bear and teach your children the ABCs of faith while the hearts are tender and the conscience is tender, that they would know who God is and that there is forgiveness. And so God heard the cries of the children of God. He hears our prayers, dear brothers and sisters. May not always answer them in our time and the way we would like it to see it done. But God wants us to pray in this way. Dear Heavenly Father, what is your will according to my life? What is your will? Not my will be done, but thy will be done. And so when the time came when Moses was saved by the Pharaoh's daughter out of the basket on the river, he became he went to live with the Egyptians and learn of their ways. God prepared him for the journey ahead. And God is preparing us also, dear brothers and sisters, all of us. God is preparing, has prepared, and continues to prepare us for our journey ahead. We know our destination. It's heaven. But we become distracted. And many things cloud our vision. That's why we're having services. That's why we come back again and again to hear the Word of God, to be instructed, to be reminded, to be encouraged and refreshed in our faith. God knows our needs. And He has supplied this congregation with those needs that He has seen fit. He has supplied this congregation with the gifts to carry out the work by and through the Holy Spirit, as we have heard. And so Moses, he becomes a big man, or older fella, and he learns the culture and the ways of Egypt. And as he gets older, he sees a Hebrew man getting beat up, and so he, by an Egyptian, so he slays the Egyptian, buries him in the sand, and he fears the Pharaoh who's looking for him, so he runs into the desert. And there in the desert of Midian, he tends his father-in-law Jethro's flock. And there, even there, those proving grounds, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years, I think it was, in the desert, God prepares Moses for the journey ahead, for they will journey into the wilderness towards the homeland, the land of Canaan, that promised land that God has promised His own. And so God appears then in His appointed time to Moses there in that burning bush. That bush that burned with fire that was not consumed. And God, there God tells Moses that He'll be the leader and lead my people. I've heard the cries of my people and I will lead them out of Egypt. And so Moses, with the aid of Aaron, go before Pharaoh and try to persuade him to let the children of God go. And God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. It will not be easy. This work that we do in God's kingdom, as we heard, is a work of joy. It has its hardship. But still, it's a joy when we do it according to the will of God, when we're obedient to this work. So he goes and before Pharaoh to ask and request the children of God be released from the bondage. Pharaoh hardens his heart and says no. And so God causes 9 plagues of various types to shake the foundations of the Egyptians who idled the river and they idolized frogs and they all kinds of different idols they had in their worship, but not the true God. So God sent grasshoppers to eat everything, and the water turned into blood, and there was lice and all kinds of bad things happening to the Egyptians, but not to the children of Israel. And then the 9th plague was the plague of darkness. For 3 days it was so dark that you couldn't see each other. Even if you were in your own house and the person was right next to you, you couldn't see them. It was so dark. But it was light in the land of Goshen where the believers were. And isn't this the same today? And the world is becoming so dark. They're losing the sense of what's right and wrong. When my wife and I went to one of the children's parent evening, the teacher said, in my classroom, I'm going to teach what's right and different. We said, oh, in our house, we endeavor to teach what's right and wrong. But he said, no, not my class. They're losing that boundary, the conscience of man is so leathery, as we've heard, so hard. Right and wrong was being lost in the world. And they're turning everything upside down. And Pharaoh, he certainly didn't like what was happening, but he still didn't let the children of God go until the 10th plague. And that was the plague of the angel of death who passed over every home in Egypt. And God said to the believers, take that paschal lamb, that firstborn lamb, that unblemished lamb, into your home and slay it. And take the blood of that lamb and paint each doorpost and the top of the door with the blood of that lamb. And when the angel of death flies over, when he sees your home and sees the blood of the paschal lamb there on the doorpost, he'll fly over. But any home that there's not been that blood, he shall go in and slay the firstborn of the children and the firstborn of the animals of every home. And every home was affected in Egypt except the children of Israel. And what did that foreshadow? That blood of that paschal lamb. And that was that sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day would come to shed his blood on behalf of half of you and I and all mankind. It is not the blood of animals that takes away the sins. It's the blood of Jesus. And the power by and through the Holy Spirit, as we heard, when the Holy Spirit moves and is powerful in the congregation, and it has been given to each one of us, we have the authority to forgive sins. Believe yet, brothers and sisters, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This is what my heart desires also. Can I believe? And so the children went. 600,000 Israelites were allowed to leave in haste as they ate that Passover meal. And they headed out. Perhaps it was a million with the children. And they went so fast. The speed was that everybody would move together. And they left no one behind. And this is how it is yet today. God has not left anyone behind. And the kingdom of God's flock moves that at such a pace that even the elderless, the slowest, can keep pace with the flock. And so they journeyed through the wilderness of the Red Sea and then up to the Red Sea. And there the Egyptians had a change of heart and they pursued them. And Pharaoh said, go, let's go get them back. Who's going to do our work? We made a mistake. And so now the children of Israel became very fearful and began to blame Moses, saying, isn't there grave sites and cemeteries in Egypt? Why did you bring us here to die? But God, when he led them by the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire by night. But when the Egyptians caught up to the Israelites there at the Red Sea, God took that cloud and put it between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. And it was so dark on the other side of the cloud. The Egyptians had lost. They could not find. They were so close, but they could not capture the Israelites. And then on the other side of the cloud was light. And we are the children of light. And that light shines so brightly here in God's kingdom. And so Moses was assured by God, and God told them that, be of good cheer, do not fear, for I am with you and I will fight for you. The battle is the Lord's. We don't have the strength to fight on our own. We need the strength of God. He has given us weapons to fight against the threefold enemy, to fight against the world, Satan, and our own flesh. And so God opened up the waters of the Red Sea, and they crossed it. Then they crossed it on dry ground. The walls of water were were very high. I don't know how high they were, but it says that an east wind blew and it held up the mounds of water. And in Hebrew it says that their journey was by faith. They believed. It wasn't the walls of water that saved them. It was their faith that saved them. And they believed that God would help them. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. It's a journey of faith, dear brothers and sisters, that God requires us, and he is pleased when we praise him, when we worship him, and when we believe our sins forgiven. This is what Moses and the children of Israel were so happy when they overcome this tribulation, this fearful event. They praised God with song. And this how it is yet today in this congregation, and as we as believers, we have praised God. We not with perfection, but our perfection is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the advocate for us. So we go forth and continue our celebration, thanking and praising God for all the goodness he has given unto us. All the obstacles that have been in our way, God has removed so that we can move forward when we have trusted and obeyed him. God does try our faith, and we need to be patient on our with our flesh and blood and our shortness. But we fail many times, and as we see the children of Israel became impatient and fearful, God likewise knows our weaknesses and wishes to comfort us today. In Jesus' name, and always blessed name, amen.